phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl and Linda Bott, and our phone lines here are 221-1402. And it's a beautiful Tuesday. You got two more shopping days, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Hey, I want to introduce the gang here. Our producer, Kelly Frost Jr.
How's it going this morning?
Hey, you know what? I'm running around here still trying to find keys to my truck.
You forgot your duck almost.
I almost forgot the duck. The duck's up now, though. And have you done all your Christmas shopping?
No.
Have you started?
No.
Okay, well, you and I probably go out together.
Yeah,
today.
All right. Sounds like a good idea.
And of course, my soulmate here, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning. It is a beautiful day. And yes, we did spend run around like crazy people this morning looking for keys. But you know what? I have to just share this with our listeners. We had the most beautiful experiences yesterday. As many of you know, you loyal listeners, we were at Gottschalk's ringing the bell for Salvation Army from 10 to 11. And we have a few names of people that we would like to say that came by personally and said I wanted to meet you, and they put money in the pot. And it was a wonderful experience for us. We experienced little miracles all day long, starting with this wonderful feeling. And Carl, you have some of the names there, but I wanted to say hello and thank you to Lena, first of all, who was so kind in her words, and also was taking a 50-pound bag of dog food on the way to Haven Humane after she put money in the pot, in the kettle.
Yeah.
So, Lena, if you're listening this morning, thank you and God bless. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. You know, first we stopped by Tobacco and Brew because we had a couple minutes there. And, you know, we always, you know, down there with those mustached, long-haired bad guys who all put a lot of money in that little kettle, you know.
They stood up and opened their wallet.
There it was. You know, Linda brought it down, was ringing the bell, and they stuck it in there. And then, but you know what, the other people, too, like, you know, we talk to people on the radio, and now we have a chance. In many cases, we put some faces to those names, like Henry, who's one of our callers an avid listener. And Henry, we found out, was an artist who has work hanging in California museums and every place. You know,
Mexico.
You're right. You know, Charles comes by, and then Chuck came by and dropped off money. And it's just, you know, and thanked me for my service. And, you know, Chuck, thank you. You know, thank you for listening and supporting the show. But, you know, this one lady came by on crutches, and she handed me two little plastic baggies full of coins. And what can I say about that except, ma'am, I don't know what your name is, but what a fine person you are, because what you said was, it was a blessing to be able to give. What kind of people are these? But that wasn't even the biggest one. You know, the people we met, you know, that came by, one gentleman said, hey, I don't have any change. Another gentleman standing there who, by the way, is the, I believe is the owner of the Ford dealership down there in Red Bluff, a great guy. He says, well, here. And he gave him $2.
Gave $2 to put into
the
pot.
Yeah, you know, it was because it was, you know, it was that kind of atmosphere there. But the big one was, as we were trying to pull out, this gentleman comes up and says to me, are you Carl Bott? And I said, yes. And he said, I have something for you, but I need your help. And I went over to his car, and he opened up the door, and it was one of those little igloo coolers, not the little one, but an igloo cooler. He said, this is for the people that need it. And I opened it up, and it was filled with change, quarters, rolled up quarters. And Jim wouldn't tell us his last name, but what a fine, fine man you are. What fine listeners we have out there. I mean, we are so, so blessed to live in a state like this, or live in an area like this,
right?
The North State. So we just wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners that were out there. And for those that came up there at noontime, really, we were only going to be there from 10 to 11. So thank you very much. And now, hey, look, we've got to take a break here. And we've got, when we come back today, we've got a
very,
very special
guest. I like we said that in unison. Wasn't that great? Missy MacArthur. So be on the phones for 221-1402, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, this is Carl and DeBott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. And again, North State and Reading, thank you so much for your generosity and putting putting Christmas back into Christmas. Hey, our guest today, the newest city council member, who when she was running, I'm sure, did not know what a firestorm was waiting with the day you started. But I guess you probably maybe had an idea. Ms. MacArthur, welcome aboard.
Thank you. I know that you asked earlier, what was it like running for office? And I had told some people when I was running, it's like being 8 months pregnant. Toward the end, you don't care what it's like. Let's just get her done.
Yeah. That's funny.
Well, it's not the first time you've run for office, though, right?
I ran for the Shasta College Board of Trustees, and that was a smaller campaign and less intense, less people running for the same office. In this case, there were eight of us running, and when I ran for the Board of Trustees, there were only three.
So yeah.
It was rewarding to be the top vote getter, though, over two incumbents. That was pretty amazing. I'm not sure how that happened, but it was gratifying.
We had a great campaign. Your name was everywhere, and your picture was everywhere.
Oh,
it was.
Well,
it was every day.
I didn't have pictures on my campaign signs.
Well, you had pictures in the paper.
Oh, yeah.
Every day when we looked at the paper, there's Missy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you look as good in person as you do in paper. So,
well, you know, I've heard people say that I have a face made for radio.
Oh, that's bad. That's cute. Well, so.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's just go right to the part that's kept everybody really busy here for the last few days when we have people on is what's going on with the budget?
Well, as I said when I was running my campaign, is that there were some dark clouds up ahead, and we could see them coming. And the reserves that the city has are great. It's like having a bank account, and you have a certain amount of funds that you're saving maybe to send your kid to college or to buy a new car. And you don't really want to dip into those reserves except for the things that you're planning on, big budget items like a car or sending your kid away. And unfortunately, with these tough economic times, we are going to be having to dive into some reserves and so that we don't completely deplete our savings account, i.e. reserves. We're going to need to make some adjustments to the budget, and that includes budget cuts. We're trying to be as fair and as equitable as we can. I think all five council members are on the same page that it's necessary. Anything we can do to stimulate the economy, we'll be doing.
Like what? An example?
Well, we actually have a list of items that we've sent on to our congresspeople of potential projects that we might be able to do in our community. If the Obama plan comes through and there are some funds, we're trying to get as much out there ahead of time as we can. We know that all the communities will be competing for those funds. Apparently, they are projects that need to be within 180 days of being ready to go. That isn't shovel ready, but it means that you have to have them in the pipeline.
Yeah, but what can you give an example of one of these?
Well, sure. I actually have a list.
I figured you did, so I was going to give you a chance. But you know, when people tell me that, okay, we've got these, we're requesting money, you know, through our congressman. You know, I like to know what they are. You know, I mean, I'm sure everybody does. So,
right.
And you do have them.
Okay. Of course, the big ticket item is the police facility at $41,900,000.
Oh, okay.
That's a public safety project that we would love to see the federal government come in and help us with. Everybody on the city council knows we need a new police facility. There isn't a single one of us that doesn't acknowledge that. The problem is, where do you get the funds? This would be a great way to get those funds.
Mm-hmm.
The simple things like there's a small project, relatively small when you talk about $42 million, but of $325,000, that is a shoulder widening bike lane out on the west side of town. So there are, I have 22 items here.
22
I don't
items.
Know that you want
yeah.
me to no, list no, them
but
all,
that,
but
no,
you
that
get
just
the
gives,
idea of a, there's a range.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what we're looking for is that if we're going out there, what kind of projects we're talking about? Okay, the police station, great. You know, I'm sure there must be a priority. We're going to talk about that.
We're taking your calls from Missy MacArthur, 221-1402. It's 34 degrees. This is Carla and Linda Bott with Free Fire Radio, 820 in the morning. We'll see you on the other side.
Hey, this is Carlin DeBott here on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest is Missy MacArthur. Jonathan.
Yeah.
Open fire.
Morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Well, I wanted to talk to Miss MacArthur about whether or not there was a real plan to shut down Benton Air Park, or this was just something that was being moved around on the table of discussion.
Jonathan, I'm really sorry to disappoint you. I am not up to speed on that issue, but I will look into it, and if you'll give me your number, I will find out about it.
Well, I just wanted to say that back before the election, Mr. Dickerson was on Free Fire Radio, and he had made some comments about shutting Benton Air Park down, and last week there was a gentleman on, I can't remember his name, and he was talking about that, and I just wanted to know if anybody realized that at any given time there are two CHP helicopters parked up there. There's a CHP spotter plane parked up there. Mercy Air has their base up there. And back in June, July, when all these fires were going on, you wouldn't believe the firefighting traffic has come in and out of that airport, so they wouldn't have to wait on clearance to land at Reading Municipal Airport.
Well, you know, Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, I really appreciate this call.
That's
because
a great point.
Because, like, you know, and this is the best thing about the show is somebody had a different viewpoint last week. Is why are we having two air parks? You know, why are we paying for two of them? And you just brought up some really good reasons.
Well, I see it all the time, and CHP helicopters in the course of the year they make about 200 medevacs. You know, even though it's a CHP helicopter, their helicopters are fully equipped to do a medical extraction and transport to a trauma center.
Well, now, Jonathan, you sound like you know what's going on up there at the airpark.
Well, I live up there by the airpark.
Okay, so you see this. So I was just wondering if there's a way to kind of cut back on some of those facilities and save some money that way. But that's not your purview, but it sounds like Missy is going to look at that.
Hey, Jonathan.
Yep.
This is Missy again. I just wanted to let you know that I worked at Mercy ER for 12 years, and our fixed wing and our helicopter were stationed over there all the time. So I have a fondness in my heart for that place, and I would hate to see it close down. I'd have to really be convinced economically it was the right way to go. But listen, don't get off without giving me your phone number, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, if I tell you what we'll do is we'll get this so he doesn't have to give it on the air.
We'll take your number off the air, so...
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Jonathan.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Missy, the air park was one of the ones. We had that down as a question to ask. And so it's a good point. The caller had said last week was, how come we've got two air parks going? You know, can we afford to do that? Well, obviously, Jonathan is coming up with some good reasons for it. But the other thing then, leads us again into the budget is the priorities. And it was a 3-2 vote to cut first responder personnel.
Yeah, people are steaming over that.
We've got, I can't tell you how many phone calls and emails we get on that.
Trust me, I get the same emails and letters. In fact, I think I brought a note here so that I could read to you some of the type of mail we're getting. To the Reading Council members, I am most appalled to hear that Dickerson, MacArthur, Stegall voted to lay off three firefighters and cut six vacant positions from our police department to save Turtle Bay a 30% cut. How in the world can you justify this? Turtle Bay is a lost cause in our current economic times. Public safety should be a number one priority in city government, and you shouldn't need Joe Citizen like myself to tell you that. I would say that you three need to pull your heads out of your beep at the least and look at the big picture.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were hearing.
Yeah. Trust me, we're hearing it loud and strong.
And lots of beeps.
A lot of beeps. Yeah, a lot of beeps on ours.
Lots of beeps. The reality is that every item is being looked at by us. It isn't anybody being picked on. In fact, the police, there weren't any layoffs. Those were open positions, so there weren't any layoffs there. The firefighters, those were positions that were filled in the last fiscal year. So they were, you know, it's the old last hired, first fired kind of thing. I assume, however, I must say that the department heads are the people who made up where they could potentially make cuts. And the city council then looked at each of those cuts and thought, okay, is there one place or another where we could make some adjustments? So these weren't made in a vacuum, these decisions. And we also have to remember the big picture, that there are other citizens out there having jobs too, and that includes jobs at Turtle Bay. And essential services like fire, we are doing our best. We obviously, nobody on the city council wants to see firefighters laid off. I mean, it's something that's near and dear to our heart, just like it's near and dear to yours.
Okay, Missy, we're going to have to take a quick break here for the news. This is Carl and Linda Bodd here on Free Fire Radio with our guest, Missy MacArthur, our newest council member. Join us on the other side.
You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Currently 35 degrees, it's 831. We're taking your calls, 221-1402. Right now, our special guest is Missy MacArthur. We're in the middle of conversation regarding the police versus Turtle Bay. I mean, the firemen versus Turtle Bay.
Right. And actually, it isn't a versus issue. There's actually a list, and it's a bit misconstrued to say, oh, we saved Turtle Bay and sacrificed the firefighters. Actually, if you look at the budget cuts, you would see that every department was hit. And Turtle Bay and the EDC aren't departments, but they are projects that are funded by the city. So the total amount, for instance, in the city attorney's office was $26,000. So it wasn't like we just hit the firefighters. We hit every office in the city. And we tried to be, like I said earlier in the program, fair and equitable. It wasn't like we took one department and said, we're gonna whack them.
Yeah.
It's not like that. And especially, you know, it's crazy to try and, if you were saying you were trying to hurt the firefighters, because they're heroes. I mean, look at this summer.
They are heroes, but I was just referring to the email. We've got a lot of calls. Let's go to the phones, Carl.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
Hey, we're doing great. How are you?
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Merry Christmas. We love
Listen,
that.
Listen, I need to address this situation. I'm going to make it as quick as I can.
That's good, because the lines are filled up, as you can imagine.
I know that. Let me get to it. Okay, Turtle Bay was originally slated for a cutback of 30% on the amount of $320,000-something that we were funding them for, and on the advice or the vote of Missy, who's there, and Dick and Mary Stiegel, it was cut back to 10%. There was no cutback in the firefighting situation. I don't care how you try to spin this. You take an amusement park and give it more money, and you give less money to the fire department or cut them back further. It is a wrong issue. Essential services takes precedent over everything. I'm sorry, but it appears that there is some fiduciary trust being violated here. I think that the involvement of the McConnell Foundation and Turtle Bay with the campaign of your guest, Missy Dickerson, and Stiegel's in the past is very evident. And the response of the council people to favor the cutbacks in favor of Turtle Bay, they're wrong. And I'm through. I'll get off right now. I'm
okay, John.
Stating this, and I want to say that we are getting active in a recall campaign, and be ready. It's coming.
Okay,
I'm
John.
Through.
Thank you for your phone call. Okay, Missy, your turn.
Okay, so I
Ouch.
Have, more of the same, unfortunately. I think that there are issues that are other issues, and that has to do with things that in negotiations that we can't discuss. So I won't go there with that. But as far as Turtle Bay, I have talked to quite a few of the people in the Chamber of Commerce and the EDC and people that are out there trying to keep our economy going here in our local government. And the economic impact study on Turtle Bay showed that it brought $9 million to our community. That is not $9 million that Turtle Bay made for itself. It's that it brought to our whole community. And that means that it brought people here that were going to spend their dollars, and that made our tax base better, which made us not have to have layoffs. And it's short-sighted to just say, okay, let's just, you know, hunker down and just only support everything that we have right here, right now, and not try and keep some kind of stimulus going. And Turtle Bay brought in $9 million to our community. And as Frank Strazzarino, the CEO of Chamber, said, even if that's an exaggeration, it's still at least $4.5 million, and that is not a bad return on investment, not to mention that it's a commitment to the arts that every city must make. So you can kind of knock us for doing that, but in fact, Turtle Bay knows there's more cuts coming, too. Everybody knows there are more cuts coming. It's looking like the last quarter, as you know, was in October when the banks and the big bailout occurred. So we haven't even hit that quarter yet in terms of looking at our city finances. These budget cuts were reflective of the third quarter. Just think what the fourth quarter is going to be. So I think it's time to get out and start sharing some. And like the bots did, they rang bells for Salvation Army. Help one another. I worked at People of Progress Orchard last weekend. We put up a brand new orchard at Enterprise Park to help people that don't have food. See what you can do to help people instead of trying to be negative and work toward the detriment of all of us. Let's all work together and solve some of our issues and problems.
Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning and Merry Christmas to you guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
I'll probably be one of the callers that I agree with this. You know what? If you look at Turtle Bay, and I agree with you, the money it brings in, what it does for the kids in our community, their learning environment, and then you go back to our fires and you look at our firefighters, and basically we have surrounding communities, we have state, we have CDF, we have a lot of fire departments, and we have a lot of help around. Basically, if we have a tragedy or our first response, I would assume that studies were done that our first response wouldn't be affected, correct?
No, our first response would be the same, other than, as the fire chief noted in the Sunday article of the paper, the reality is that the flashpoint is in 7 minutes. So if you aren't living right next to a fire station, by the time the truck gets there, I'm sure it's been more than 7 minutes and the flashpoint's been reached.
Well, I believe with the support we have with surrounding communities, CDF and all the other fire departments, it's unfortunate that the fire departments have to get cut. I'm not sure if they were full-time or volunteer, but cuts are going to have to be made. And we also have an obligation to our community schools and to, you know, other things to provide these things like Turtle Bay. I have four kids, and it's a great learning experience for them. So I think everybody's going to have to accept that there are some cuts coming, and I just think that's the way it's going to be. But I agree with what you guys have done. The Turtle Bay, I think, is a necessity for our community.
Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we've got the phone lines lit up, and we've got more questions for our newest council member.
So much can happen in a year. Think about it.
KQMS. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott at KQMS. 221-1400, KQMS, 221-1402. But before we get to Missy MacArthur, I want to tell you really quickly about the Shasta Discount Outlet. You know, it's the one on East Cypress where Old Meek's building is. They would like to donate its unsold trees while supplies last. They have trees up to 6 feet, and if you did not get a tree this year but would still like to go to Shasta Discount Outlet, they're going to give you one free. So if you're an individual or a charity organization or if you know anyone who needs a tree, Shasta Discount will donate one for no charge while supplies last. So get over there and get one.
Yay, all Shasta right. Discount, yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go to the phones. Don, good morning.
Hello, that's me?
Yeah, you're on. Thanks for waiting.
You betcha. In regards to Benton Air Park, three things I would point out. Number one, whenever the main airport is shut down in the wintertime because of fog, Benton is usually open.
Okay.
Number two, we went back to this in the 60s. They had a series of accidents in which he wouldn't cry out. They needed to shut the airport down. The FAA came in and did an in-depth study, and they took out a two-full-page ad in the Record Searchlight as to why maybe they should not do that.
Uh-huh.
I suggest they do research to do that, and if they have other questions, get a hold of the AOPA, and they'll explain maybe why it would be better if they lengthened the runway an extra 500 feet would be more beneficial than shutting it down.
Okay. It sounds like you know what you're talking about there, Don.
I see. I've been through that. I've seen that.
Well, you know what? That's the part about history, right? So we don't make the same mistakes twice, right?
Well, one thing you need to remember is once it's gone, you'll never get it back.
Yeah.
And in the case of a medical emergency, if you have to come in by aircraft and Benton isn't there, the difference between an ambulance ride from the main airport to either hospital could mean the difference between life and death. They might consider that.
Wow.
And Don, this is Missy. In fact, that's happened up in Weaverville when their airport was closed. We had to send an ambulance up to get patients and bring them down. So I know what you're talking about. If there's not available airport to land that helicopter or that fixed wing, then you're in trouble.
You betcha.
Hey, Don, thanks so much for the phone call. This is why we love this show, is that you throw a question out there. There's experts that would be glad to help us.
You betcha.
Thank you.
This is Missy again. Before we get any further, I'd like to offer my condolences to the Shelby Lynn Allen family. The tragedy that happened to their daughter there, but for the grace of God, I have an 18-and-a-half-year-old, and I'm just so sorry for that family. And my prayers and good wishes go with you.
As do ours. Okay, Anonymous, you're up. Yeah, you're up, Anonymous.
All right, I had a couple questions. You start reading the paper here the last couple months, and the city's just coming out with all these doomsday scenarios and how we're going to have to cut, lay off employees. But in the same time, you guys are talking about spending $41.9 for a police station, which I'm sure that these employees would rather have their jobs than having a new building. Kind of seems kind of crazy to me. Second, you guys are doing a $90 million business park, but you have no plans on anyone to even ever come into this city to work here, especially in this kind of economy. When you got other state agencies cutting all their business and all their construction. Also, a couple weeks ago, you guys had talked about $2.1 million for the Riverbend Park that you guys are going to purchase. And then talking about spending $23 million over the next 7 years. And then 2 days later, you guys come out and say, we're going to have to lay off $3 million worth of people. It makes no sense whatsoever. And also to the other guy that talks about when is it more important, I have another thing, when is it more important to entertain the Turtle Bay than lay off firefighters that are serving, saving lives every day, when the extra bodies could help the other firefighters that are trying to save the lives, already learning that kind of stuff at the schools that we're paying taxes for already. It makes no sense on the decisions that you guys are having. The city's top-heavy already. I just wonder if you guys even pay attention to what's going on.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your phone call, and we'll let Missy answer those.
So as far as the proposed stimulus projects and different projects, obviously the police station has been put on hold. I think that's been made pretty clear. The stimulus projects that we're talking about would be if there is some money with the new federal program, and we're hoping that there will be. So those monies and those projects if they get funded, they will help stimulate the economy, because I can't tell you how many people in construction right now are laid off. I have a close friend who's a tile setter. He has friends. He's out of work right now, and he has friends from the Bay Area and L.A. calling up and saying, do you have any work up there? And he's saying, no, there aren't. You know, I don't have work, so there isn't any for you to have to come up here either. So we don't live in a vacuum. We have the same economic concerns that they have in Southern California, that they have in Detroit. And, you know, it's not an isolated recession here in Redding, California. But we're going to try to find projects that we can get some of these people employed, get people back to work. If we can win some of that money, it'll be good for our community. And the whole layoff process is just economics. And, you know, like I said, we're trying to be as fair and as equitable as we can. We are not trying to hurt any one group. We're just doing the best we can. And hopefully the community can understand that.
I think the turmoil that we've been seeing is the fact that people are saying, okay, we have a fire truck pulls up with two people on it. They can't do anything until a second truck pulls up, because they need a minimum of three people to fight. And that includes going after somebody inside a house. And, they look, and then what they're saying is, how come we've got somebody still working at Turtle Bay instead of a third firefighter or some other place? And that's been, I think, just what he said. Now, we've got to take it, and we're up against a hard break right now, but when we come back, we need to, I think, you know, you've addressed that to us, and we need to address it to our public here. So,
and we have a caller.
So, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and News Talk 1400 KQMS. Missy.
Yes, I wanted to thank you for having me on the show. It's been wonderful. I wanted to just remark one thing, and that is there are 900 City of Redding employees, and there are 90,000 citizens. And the City Council is doing its best to represent those 90,000 as well as those 900 city employees. So the budget cuts and so forth are trying to keep everything in balance, and hopefully people will understand that. But I want to thank you, and God bless everybody this Christmas season, and have a wonderful, happy, safe, and healthy new year.
Hey, Guard, thanks for waiting. 30 seconds. Hello? Gary?
Hello, yes.
Yeah.
I'm on?
You're on.
You're on the air.
30 seconds.
Okay.
Yep. 30 seconds real quick. Missy, we're talking about the stimulus package and that list. And there are several items on it that I wonder why they're listed the way they are, number one. And number two, I'm understanding a secondary list is going to be going in, because it should be in by January the 6th, so Congress will look at it. And I'm hoping that you help us rearrange this list to get some of the things up at the top that we really need there, like the Oasis Shopping Center and the Royce's Interchange.
I think that's a good comment. The list isn't arranged in any particular order, and I do agree with you that it should be listed as priorities, 1, 2, 3, 4. Thanks.
Yep. And, Carl, who's going to be on with you tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have our mayor and the city manager at the same time. So, you can just come in here with weapons free, you know.
Well, I'll probably call again tomorrow. But, Missy, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ron, 30 seconds.
Am I on?
You're on. 30
on
seconds.
The air.
Okay, quickly, what's your thoughts on increasing the travel and entertainment employment in this area, tourism?
Well, I think, of course, if we can get more tourists here, even though the tourist jobs themselves don't provide a lot of income, like if you're selling hot dogs. However, you bring people here, they see the community, and like the bots, they fall in love with this community, and then they bring their businesses here, and it all helps the economy.
I think we have to really push for that, because, you know, when it gets right down to it, we've got such a beautiful part of the state and the country right here, and that bringing people in, but we've got to make this place business friendly too, you know, as business friendly as we possibly can at our level.
Well, we love it. We can't imagine being anywhere else. And, you know, being in different places that we lived in the world, people say, oh, what's it like being in a Reading? Well, you know what? We love it. Every day we wake up, we think we love Reading. Now, sidebar, David Spade.
David Spade, the little comic.
He loved Phoenix.
He loves Phoenix.
He grew up in Phoenix, and what happened
went
is
to school there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And he heard that a cop, something happened with one of the policemen there, and I don't know if he was killed. The first one was. Right, and so he went to his widow and wrote a $25,000 check and said, I just appreciate your husband's service. Then he found out that they didn't have enough guns, semi-automatics.
Yeah, then. Rifles. Yeah, they went to they were being outgunned by the druggies. So he went and wrote a check yesterday for $100,000 for them to buy M4s, which is the kind we used against the bad guys, and they work so well.
So there you go, David Spade. You know he deserves a thumbs up.
He does, and I tell you what, we thank
so cool.
Missy for coming in here and listening answering the questions of our listeners. And again, Jim, wherever you are, after what you did yesterday with that igloo container. I am still so touched. And Lena, 50 pounds of food out to Haven Humane. All of our listeners that came out yesterday, how can we thank you for what you've done for our community? You know, it's not us. It's people like you that make this show, you know, what it is.
So go out and see what you can do for your community.
That's right. So, you know, we've had a great time. Like, again, you know, our guest tomorrow will be Mayor Bassetti and Kurt Starman. Is a good chance to ask a lot of questions. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?